Welcome to On the Heel Podcast.
All right, and we're back.
Back on the hill.
Back on the hill. With a very special guest. We say every guest is special, but I think in most particularly, this is probably the
make you feel better.
You could have left that out.
Well, I mean, I think. Well, I said you're the most special guest.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Make up for it now.
Meredith Prosnick.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to meet you guys.
All right. Yeah. Nice to meet us. So, before we, you know, the show has no format, really. We just kind of go with what we know. And so I've been, how long do you think I've been messaging you on Facebook to try to get you on the hill?
Oh, it's been at least 6 months, right?
Probably more than that, yeah. So anyway, you show up and we're, you know, glad you're here. And you found out that I actually know your parents and that you know my parents. But I thought you knew that the whole time I was trying to get a hold of you. So,
and I still showed up. So, I mean, that's good, right?
That's pretty badass. Yeah. Well, we knew you were a badass. I mean, because, you know, your dad is, you know, a legend around these parts.
So you just thought you were coming to some stranger's house.
Yep. Coming to some stranger's house to do a podcast.
We're like, yeah, we've seen you at the river. We've seen you.
No, yeah, it's comforting. It definitely helps.
Yeah, thank God we got that straight ahead of time. So I'm assuming your dad had me, like, you know, you had us, he had the coordinates and everything. In case something happened, he was going to come take us out.
My best friends.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to worry my parents with it, you know, so.
Well, I was counting on them thinking that, you know, hey,
we know Eric's house. You've been like, oh, sweet.
Have fun. Yeah, we know Eric and Shelly, and, you know, they watched you grow up, and wow.
Small world.
But, you know, glad to have you on. So we know you're like a veteran podcaster.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far. This is new to me.
Right. Well, that's cool. Well, and so are we. We're new to this. I think this is our what show?
This will be 21.
21 shows. So, yeah, you may not know much about the show, but essentially we started because of the podcast era. I'm like a huge Jordan Peterson fan, Joe Rogan fan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I listen to some of those guys. Joe Rogan podcasts.
Yeah.
So I think my son here is a music major, and he was a teacher for 5 years, but he has all the skills to set this room up with the sound and the video and all that. So he said, hey, let's start a podcast, and here we are. So
here we are.
Yeah. So we always start with where you grew up and where you're from.
So I grew up in Petersburg, Virginia.
P-Town.
Yeah, I know you're very familiar with.
P-Town represent.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my dad owned a sports bar in Petersburg when I was little.
Damn.
And we eventually moved our way out to Prince George, where I graduated from high school, Prince George High School.
So did you ever go to Petersburg Public Schools?
We did not go to Petersburg Public School. We started at St. Joseph's.
Oh, high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good, smart decision.
Now, did you go to Moore and Clements in Prince George?
Yes, yeah. Okay. J.J. Moore and then Clements, yep.
I taught at Clements.
Oh, did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, yeah. I hear it's a lot different from when we graduated. Things have changed a lot.
It's a little crazy down there.
Yeah.
Just to get my last year, I broke up like 14, 15 fights just in my hallway.
In 1 year?
In one, yeah. Yeah. It's mostly girls, too. Like after lunch, they'd come out just swinging.
What were they eating for lunch?
I don't know. They weren't eating. They were just talking about their boyfriends. And
Oh, that's what happened.
Okay. Yeah. All the drama.
They're not worth it. Trust me. Men aren't worth it. There's more women than men in the world, they say. You think that's true?
I don't know.
You're a woman. You should know, right?
I don't know.
I mean, I would think that, you know, this is something I've noticed, and this is kind of off topic, but, you know, you're a younger young lady, so you probably can see this, where I'm going with this. But anyway, so this is new phenomena, like women are chasing guys.
Oh, yeah, that's not a good thing.
I don't like that, man.
No, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, I tell everybody, I know, it's like, no, boys chase girls, or girls don't chase boys. If you're chasing a boy, something's up.
Amen.
Yeah, that shit ain't right.
Amen. Amen.
Right, so, okay.
I had to chase mine. So did you.
You had to chase your boy?
Damn.
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
no. I had to chase, well, her name's Frankie, which could be a boy name, but I had to chase her.
She's definitely not a boy. So,
she denied me the first time. And then,
oh, you know what? You put in the hard work, makes it worth it, right?
It was.
The hard work is worth it. Yeah. I mean, same with me. I mean, with Shelly, I remember the first time I told her I loved her. We were in high school. So we met each other in high school and have been together ever since. But I told her I loved her. She's like, okay.
What do I do with that?
It's like, I don't freaking know you, you know? All right. So that's back to you now. So you didn't go to Petersburg Public Schools, so that's good. I'm just going to throw this in here. So, nothing against Petersburg, but I did work there, you know, my whole career, and the schools aren't accredited, and they probably weren't even accredited back then.
Back in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, so people, yeah, particularly in the 90s were even probably, well, hopefully they're a little bit better, but I don't know if they are. And like the 90s was, in late 80s, early 90s was the height of the crack epidemic. So downtown, P-Town was pretty rough.
Started going south. Yeah.
Yeah. And your dad owned the legendary Joe's Place.
Joe's Place. Yes.
Do you know how that started? Like how he got into, how he opened it or anything?
So my grandfather had a Joe's Place.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. And it was like, you know, basically it was like billiards and stuff for the kids and whatnot. And that was in Clinton Heights on the Boulevard.
I didn't know that.
Right across from, there's a McDonald's out there on the Boulevard. And right across from it, it's like a, I don't know, like a dental office.
Right, that was it?
Now, that was it.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's cool, man.
And then I'm pretty sure. I mean, I know that was the building. Now, I know there was a Joe's Place between the two of those two, but I think that one was my grandfather's because my dad and my grandfather, they grew up on that street right there. So
That's pretty awesome. And his name was Joe, too, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Yeah, so then Joe's Place. So I made a mistake of going there one time as like, I think I was either in high school or right out of high school because your dad, Joe, and my stepdad, Skip, flew hang gliders together.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, if you want to get a workout, go see Joe.
I mean, it's so cool because like, I mean, I was little, right. But I mean, both my parents were working in the bar. And so a lot of nights, like us kids would be sleeping in the booths, you know, hanging out. And it was cool because you walk into the bar and in the middle of it is just like billiards and foosball and darts. And then if you go to the left, you've got like I'm pretty sure his gym was nationally recognized.
It was legit.
Yes. And then if you went to the right, you had like a seafood bar with a dance floor and karaoke. And like, I mean.
Wait, so the gym was attached to it?
Yeah, it was all in one building.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it started off like a gym, and then I guess maybe they had a pool in there too, but the restaurant came later. So
okay,
and he did like arm wrestling competitions, and he had sign-ups for like bear camp and hang gliding, parasailing trips, and all sorts of stuff. Like, there's nothing like that around here nowadays.
Just a bar. I didn't know it was all that.
No, man. Yeah, so I'm sorry. It was a gym,
Oh.
So I go in there to try to work out. Because your dad's like, you know, he kind of knew me, but not, I was a kid, you know. He's like, yeah, come on, I'll show you how to work out. Damn, I ain't never been that sore in my life, bro. I could not stand up straight for like 2 weeks straight. I'm not bullshitting.
Oh, that's great.
They killed me in there, man.
He'd practice shooting his bow in there, too, because the building was so long.
Yeah.
You know? Whenever he got a second, he'd put a target up. He'd be shooting his bow in there.
That was awesome.
Wow. So needless to say, you had a cool upbringing.
Oh, my gosh. I had an amazing upbringing. I mean, as you know, we had a place in Claremont when we were kids. And a normal day for us, like, we'd wake up and Dad would tell us, like, you can't go tubing until you water ski first. That was a rule. So we'd have to do some productive first, and then we'd get the reward of going tubing. And he had that old Mastercraft that he got from Cypress Gardens. I was
damn,
like,
that boat was awesome.
Yeah, so. I think there was only, like, I don't know, I think he said only, like, three of those ever made.
It was like a prototype boat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we'd get like five or six tubes behind that thing. I got my very first concussion behind that boat. Memories, good times.
Hell yeah.
Yes, I mean, you know, so I'm, we talked about it before the show, but, you know, your dad skied down in Cypress Gardens.
Yes, yep.
He's a world-class skier. And
yep. Actually, if you get on Google and you type in his name and Johnny Carson, a picture pops up and Dad is serving as Johnny's human ski. It's pretty cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I swear.
Damn, Johnny Carson, man.
Yeah. But so he skied there until he blew out his knee in a show. He was doing a jump, and whoever was supposed to wet the ramp didn't wet the ramp before the show.
Damn.
And he ended up blowing his knee. And So then when he couldn't ski anymore, and he was a couple weeks away from like trying out for the world team, and that was his ultimate goal, and it was looking really good for him, but that kind of took that from him. And so after that, he came home for a little while, and he told us, he said, "I decided in that moment I would never again put all my eggs in one basket."
There you go.
And he started doing the hang glide, and he hang glided at Disney World for a while, and then he started racing motocross and, you know, God knows, the traditional archery and the diving and the spear fishing and the, I mean, everything.
Damn, we have to get your dad on here, dude.
Yeah, he'd be way more interesting than me to listen to. We should have brought him.
No. Well, I thought about really it, but would. Our biggest problem, no, I'm saying that because I think what you said earlier is so true is like, you know, all the technology we have now is hard for people to imagine, but didn't exist.
Right.
I mean, when I was I can remember no computers. I can remember no camcorders or anything like that. I remember when they first came out. So you can imagine all the information we could have if we'd had these things. Now you'd see your dad skiing at Cypress. You know, we see all the hang gliding pictures. I mean,
yeah.
Basically, it was just still pictures, like a camera. That's it.
And even so, like, you know, those big camcorders that you're talking about. So I don't know how he did it, but there's a lot of footage of him flying from over his head where you can see down, you know. And even when he would hunt, like go on bear hunts and stuff, he would take that whole camcorder in the stand with him and set it in the stand, and he'd still get – he has more footage hunting than I do, and I've got a cell phone. I'm like, gosh, I'm slacking so bad. He did such a good job with that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I remember – now you say that. I remember that. Yeah, I remember all that. The camera – not the bear hunting, but the camera on the hang glide. You're talking about when he was at Tommy's too, right? They had
all kinds.
I think they were a little more prevalent then, but I mean, it was, and Tommy was good at that too, though.
But I'm like, imagine if they had GoPros. Imagine if they had what we had. The footage would be all that incredible. Stuff would be
crazy. These guys are daredevils, man.
Yeah.
He fell out of the sky into Lake Chesden. He fell from like 600 feet in a hang glider.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Damn.
So did he crash the glider or what happened?
Yeah. So I don't remember exactly how he fell, but I guess it flipped and wrapped around him, and he went down, and he landed like right at the edge of a bass boat. I think the tip of the glider like hit the front of the bass boat, and it knocked him unconscious. And so, you know, he's strapped in and he's upside down, so he was underwater unconscious. And the bass fisherman jumped out of the boat, and he cut dad out, and they sent him to the hospital. And they called my grandmother, and they told my grandmother that my dad had died in a hang gliding accident.
Holy smokes!
And my dad didn't know that they had told her that. And as he's walking out of the hospital, my grandmother is walking into the hospital.
Oh, my God.
And he says to her, "And for my next act, I will light myself aflame." And she was Italian. She was hot. She was not happy.
Damn.
Can you imagine?
No. Who called her?
I don't know. I guess someone at the hospital. Somebody at the hospital. Or maybe someone at the lake who saw it. I don't know.
So your dad's awesome, and your mom both, you know, they really are great people. But you've seen, like, the old pictures of your dad. So just imagine. I mean, that dude was a beast, Jack. I was telling her when I was a cop, they had very few calls at Joe's, but if you did, it was like somebody's getting the ass beat. And it ain't your owner, and it's not some of his buddies to get that. I mean, it was like, holy smokes, bro.
Now, that's some of the stuff that I wish they'd have gotten on camera, because I would have loved to see. I've had so many people tell me stories of watching my dad handle situations in the bar.
Oh, yeah. Man. I know a couple of stories. I didn't get to see him, but I know some. I'm not going to get into them. But him and Mike Ramsey were the duo back in the day. You know, and Mike ended up becoming a cop.
Right. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Mike Ramsey. All right. So now we're back. So, I mean, all this is your history, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite part of my childhood, man. Like I said, we'd wake up at the river and, you know, he'd be putting together the glider, taking people up all day long. And then, you know, he'd take us up on parasail if we wanted to go parasailing. I mean, he was always loading up the four-wheelers and taking us on trips and, you know, hunting trips and everything else. I mean, what kind of kid gets that at such a young age? I mean, we were so blessed. And when we lost the river in 2003, Hurricane Isabel came through and took everything. Dad had 40 animal mounts in our house.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Because our house, the house we were in was like an old restaurant.
Yeah. And the old restaurant.
Yeah. And he had filled it with all of his mounts. And my grandfather had killed a bear like right before he passed. And we had it made into a rug. And dad had like a record book, dolphin and shark and all sorts of stuff. And he lost everything in that flood. We lost the whole house.
That was something that, yeah, you can't, that's rough.
But, you know, at such a young age for us, I mean, it was really rough, but it really made us appreciate the things that we have.
Because that whole area down there got devastated, and so did Sunken Meadow. But, like, you know, we lost family photos and stuff like that, too. My mom had all our family photos. They had a now it looks totally different down there, but, you know, the restaurant, you know, we before they bought the place my parents had, we stayed at the restaurant a summer or so, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, before. I think that's how your dad knew about it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And, but anyway, yeah, so they were all those cabins, you know, 1-2-bedroom cabins. And, all our family photos and stuff. My mom had like in a file cabinet that was all gone too.
God, yeah.
Yep. That was, you know, total devastation down there.
It was so bad. And, you know, normally after a storm, we'd all show up.
Yep.
And it would be ugly, but we'd be able to clean it up. But, I mean, when we drove down that hill and we looked in our house, I mean, there was nothing there. I mean, it was just debris everywhere. And we went there for, God, I don't know, we went there for weeks just digging through stuff.
Trying to find stuff.
My brother found my dad's mountain lion. My dad killed a mountain lion with his longbow. He found it in somebody's trailer, like 5 or 6 trailers down.
Oh, yeah.
And he was able to salvage that, that was good. But it was wild.
Yeah, I remember there was a house because Betty and Skip we called Grand Grand Boompaw.
Okay,
that's just sort of that was a Southern thing. It was from a book or something. But their house was pretty much still standing. The downstairs was wrecked, but an entire roof was sitting next door to them. And as they started lifting stuff up, it was an entire house that had floated and just crumbled. Right next door to them.
It floated. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure where it came from, but across the river or wherever. And once the water receded, the houses crumbled down.
God, it was so sad.
Yeah, y'all's place was cinder block and literally was nothing. I mean, yeah, it was like just the poured concrete was left on the.
Right. That was right. It. Yeah, I mean, they think that the house in front of us actually just rammed into ours until it took ours down, too.
Yeah.
Damn.
Their boats were stacked on top of boats. I mean,
it was insane, man. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but Skip tried to stay down there through the storm. He almost didn't get out of there.
Oh, my gosh.
He basically had to swim to the back of, you know, that big hill at the back of the road there, Rio Vista. He basically had to swim over there and get up and climb the hill up it.
Wow.
To get out. So, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. He's a little crazy, too, but...
Well, he made it.
but surprisingly, we didn't know, you know, all communications were down because everything around here was devastated too, you know, as far as power and all that. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know if he'd made it out of there or not. I think it took all day. I think he finally made it back. I was able to get a hold of my mom. She was staying here. And what's she, 2003?
That would have been a good GoPro moment too.
Yeah. But anyway, we didn't know if he made it out of there or not. But anyway, all right.
Now, when you were growing up, did you, you were skiing, but were you wakeboarding and stuff too?
We were wakeboarding, we were skiing, we were barefooting. I mean, Dad had us barefoot skiing when we were like 5, 6 years old. I mean, we were actually working on a pyramid the summer we lost river. I was 12. And we had neighbors there with a little boy and a little girl, and they were our age. And so it was supposed to be like 3 boys on the bottom, and then me and the girl, and then the smallest boy on top. It was going to be a 3-2-1.
Yeah.
So we practiced it on land. We were going to actually practice it in the water that summer, and then we didn't get to. Damn. So I was super bummed because I still want to do that. But yeah, I mean, my brothers, they were big into the wakeboarding, and I wakeboarded. It wasn't my favorite thing. I loved barefooting. I would take a barefoot fall, and I enjoyed it, so it made it worth it. But then wakeboarding falls, I didn't enjoy wakeboarding enough to want to endure those falls. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. They're definitely, yeah.
I mean, you grew up the same way. Not the same level
as you guys, but yeah, brothers, they grew up on the water, but yeah.
Wakeboarding the same way.
Catch that edge.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it hurts.
Concussion or two.
Yeah. I got to grow up, you know, well, first, you know, my parents were separated, but my dad always had a boat, my dad and stepmom. But then, of course, you know, Tommy's house, you had Tommy and Michael, who, you know, he's crazy too.
Yep,
so
Michael.
We grew up skiing all the time and never got the barefoot though. That was I wanted to learn how to barefoot.
Yeah, it's a good time. I mean, it those falls though, oh my gosh.
Because even if you're 12, I mean, you're small, you know. not a lot of weight, but still, I mean, you're getting up to pretty good speeds.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time I was barefoot, and my mom and dad were in the boat together. Van was in the boat, too. I don't remember if JV was. Well, when you barefoot, you got to make sure your toes are up in the air, right? Because if you don't, if your toe catches, that's when you're just going to smack.
Your headbutt, yeah.
Right. And I remember I had a bunch of hair ties in my hair. I had my hair up, and we got to wear wetsuits, you know, because that water is so hard. And I took a fall, and it was so hard that all of my hair ties were floating around me. And I was, like, face down in the water, and I just had this, like, God awful headache, and I rolled over, and I was just like trying to regain like where it was. It was rough. And my mom was in the boat crying. She was crying. She was like, "Get her out of the water! Get her out of the water!" And my dad looks at me, and he looks at my mom, and he's like, "She's got to do it again because she has to get over this."
Yep.
And dad, of course, he would make me if I didn't want to, but he looked at me and he's like, "Do you want to do it again?" And I said, "Yeah, Dad." And my mom was just like so upset.
Oh yeah.
But those were brutal. They were definitely brutal.
I wonder, so your dad's size, or, you know, a man, they're going what, at least how fast you think they're going?
I couldn't even tell you.
At least 30 or 40.
Yeah, that's what I, 30s, quick. 40s.
Yeah, because you can imagine falling, you know, I used to always like to slalom ski, so even, you know, and if you would, I don't know how much you knew Michael, but, you know, he would, it was crazy. I mean, he's crazy as hell, so. All the boats they had down there, and we would just get us going as fast as possible, and just see how long we could stay on the ski.
But that's a wild ride right there.
It is a wild ride, and we had an old ski. We're trying to like figure out stuff we could ski on, see if we could get up on it like a round disc or. I think there's a video of Mike trying to ski on a table or something. But anyway, that old ski we found it, so let's just see if it'll work. And the bindings broke on it, and that I did like a head plant. But yeah, I remember that fall because like my head, you stumble, you know, you tumble on the water. We were probably going at least 35, 40, maybe more. And my head finally, the only thing that stuck was my head, and it whiplashed me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you've had those kind of falls, people just.
Yeah, I mean, my dad took a guy, I won't say any names, but took a guy barefooting once, and the guy fell. And well, I don't know if he was doing a tumble turn, but his neck caught, snapped his neck. Broke his neck. I mean,
holy smokes,
guy survived, but I mean, it's no joke. Yeah, I think you got to do it right.
You could definitely be seriously hurt. And then, I don't know, do people wear helmets now when they do any of this stuff?
I don't see anybody do any of this stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's
other
true.
Than on Instagram. You know, you get that's one true. Video every now and then on Instagram. I think to myself, if my dad had an Instagram back in the 90s, oh my gosh, he'd be huge.
He'd be worldwide. I mean, yeah, because they just worldwide. The information wasn't there, man.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, you know. Yeah, you should go back and like get a bunch of his old photos and stuff and like just kind of like put some stuff together, man.
That'd
be cool.
He did good at scrapbooking back in the day, so he's
got some stuff.
Good, he's good. Got some stuff.
Good. Yeah, because it is cool. But yeah, I mean, so you talking about wakeboard. Remember the last time I wakeboarded and I fell backwards and hit my head? Mm-hmm. I mean, it pretty much almost knocked me out.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's no joke. It
hurts. So I said, next time I'm going to wear a helmet, man.
Yeah, a lot of the guys wakeboarding do wear helmets.
Yeah, because it's a hell of a hit, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but barefoot, and I don't see anybody wearing helmets.
Yeah, it's just like skiing. Yeah, you don't see many people just skiing, you know, on slalom or even just double skis or nothing.
Right.
Kind of lost.
I mean, people are wake surfing now. That's pretty much what they do.
I was gonna say.
You ever tried that?
Yeah, I've done some of that.
I mean, is it cool? I've seen the videos, but I mean, is it?
I mean, it's cool. It's enjoyable, yeah. I mean, the falls are way easier than...
Because you're not going very fast.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you're probably going like 5-10 miles an hour.
Just yeah, because you just got to have the weight. But that's what your dad would do, too, was take those gallon...
Gallon, yeah. He'd fill those blue containers up in the back so we could get a bigger wake.
Yeah.
For the boys when they were wanting to, you know, learn all these flips and stuff on the wakeboard. My brother's good on a wakeboard. He can do all sorts of flips. He can still do it, actually.
Wow.
But I never did a flip. Not on purpose, at least.
By accident.
Maybe on accident. And I hurt real bad.
So I've been in your dad's boat. But I mean, I know we keep talking about it, but I got to drive that boat one time. They were, I don't know if you remember the Moyes from Australia.
The Moyes?
The Moyes. Yeah, I may be saying it wrong. But they made the hang glider.
Yeah.
Right? So he brought
it Bill Moyes?
Bill Moyes. Boy Moyes, or however you say it. But he brought that ultralight he had, and they were towing it behind. They were towing the
ultralight.
Yeah, the, the ultralight with the hang gliders behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael came back. He's like, you know, Joe needs his boat. you think you can drive it? I'm like, hell yeah, I can drive it. So we had to go over to wherever they were, but
that was a badass boat, man.
He still has it.
Does he?
We still have it.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah, it was hard to steer, though. Somebody,
yeah.
You had to be a man to drive that boat.
Isn't that the
no
truth?
No power steering
it's,
on it.
It's still that way. Yeah, like, I mean, we hadn't taken that out on the water in years, but I mean, yeah. it still looks pretty good. I mean, definitely some work needs to be done. It'd be really cool to get it back on the water.
That would be badass. Yeah. You had to be, I was like, because anyway, I just remembered, I was like trying to steer this fucking thing. I'm like, if I wreck this boat, I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know how many times that boat like sunk? Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. A couple times when we were at the river, I remember waking up and the whole thing's underwater. And I'm like, this can't be good. It's been through a lot.
Somebody left the plug out again.
I don't remember what happened, but.
Yeah, but yeah, that's pretty cool though. Damn.
That boat could, if only that boat could talk.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I wish it had all the new shit to do it, to the GoPros and stuff.
God, I know.
That'd have been badass.
Yeah.
So you went to Prince George High School, graduated Prince George High School.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
After that,
what was your athlete at the school though, right?
Yes, I played soccer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yep. And then I went to Radford University, and I did 3 years there. And then I went to Roanoke, which was for PT school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my doctorate in physical therapy through Radford, but it was located in Roanoke.
Hmm.
I enjoyed it in Roanoke. It was a really nice little place.
Yeah, was that all back-to-back? The 3 years at Radford and then straight into PT school?
Yep.
Was that another 4 years? Or?
Another three. Yeah, so I was able to get it done in six.
That's not bad.
I was glad because I wasn't trying to pay anymore, so I'll get this over with.
So what was the major at RAT? Was it exercise science or something like that?
Exercise, sport, and health education.
And then straight into PT.
Yeah, yep.
That's what my wife, Frankie, she was exercise science and then graduated 4 years at VCU and then went into nursing school. So now she works at the OR at Johnson Willis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
It was an OR nurse, so
awesome.
She was looking at the PT track and did a couple. I can't remember where she was, but she did a couple. Not shadowing. What is it called?
When you internships, go in,
and, yeah, internships. And then she was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And then got into the OR track because my mom's a nurse. And then
good for her.
Yeah, that's she loves awesome. It. I couldn't
that's
do
what
it.
Matters, right?
Yeah, I mean, people that you guys are super smart. I mean,
because I remember. God, the night she was doing like her top anatomy classes and just helping her study for that stuff, I was like, I can't even read half these words on these index cards. I don't even know what's going on. But
yeah, well, you know, I was really into like athletics and I enjoyed working out and stuff like that, and so I thought it'd be a pretty good occupation for me. And I mean, really
do you enjoy it still?
I mean, Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember I was, so, you know, Dad, like I had said, had, you know, those knee issues from the show. Well, when I was little, I was probably 13, 14, I guess. Dad had a knee replacement.
Hmm.
And so the home health therapist came to the house, and I stayed home from school, and I was watching him, like, go through therapy.
Cool. Yeah.
And, I guess I was way younger than that. Yeah, I don't know. I was probably 8 or something. And I was watching the home health therapist take him through his exercise. And I literally remember sitting on the couch and watching and saying, that's what I want to do.
Mm.
That's what I want to do. And daggone if it didn't work out.
That's cool, though.
Yeah,
takes
awesome.
A lot of dedication, though.
Yeah. I'm glad I went through PT school, but I'd never want to go through it again.
Sure. Yeah,
not having like a social life for that long, I had a hard time with that. And then like being away, I couldn't hunt and stuff. Like that sucked.
Yeah. Because for you to do it in 6 years, you probably went year round, didn't you?
Yeah, I went straight through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
damn, wow. That's tough. And then after Roanoke, you came back here. Got a job locally?
I graduated in 2015, and then I worked in Clinton Heights until 2018, and then I just had this itch, and I was like, I just want to do more. I want to go somewhere. I want to do something different. And so that's when I started doing travel therapy, which is when I ended up in South Carolina and Texas and Hawaii for a couple years. And I was in Hawaii when COVID hit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and they were shutting flights down and stuff. And we couldn't even like go out on the beach. If we were on the beach, we couldn't be sitting. We had to be exercising. But you could be in the water, right? But you couldn't be like out at a park or anything. I mean, you had to have a pass to drive to work. I mean, they were so strict. And I was going crazy. I was like, I can't just sit here. And if, God forbid, if they shut a flight down and I can't get back to the mainland and I miss bow fishing and hunting season, we're going to have problems. So I told my boss, I was like, I've got to get home. And it was fine with her because, of course, she's paying me to be there and patients aren't coming in because everybody's so scared to come in. So it worked out just fine. I came home and then I started working at Ortho Virginia. And I'm at Ortho Virginia now. I've been there ever since 2020.
Okay. Nice. Been there a few times.
Oh, yeah.
All my injuries growing up. Ortho on call.
So, I mean, they got different locations. I mean, is which one? I mean, are you
Prince George?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Over there, where the like the is it called the Crossings?
Puddle Dock Road, like where Prime Care and all of them, cool. You know, all the medical buildings are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's called the Crossings. Is that right? Or am I losing my mind?
Over by like the
with the Lowe's,
Sweaters, and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what that's called.
Yeah.
But out past Southport.
Getting old, dog.
We know.
What?
Look at that beard. Things graying out.
It's not even summertime yet. It's already gray. Imagine when the sun hits it. That's it.
Get bright.
That's right, man. Santa Claus.
So any, you going to open up your own?
She can't talk about it. Yeah, she's.
Well, you can talk about your goals. And
future goals.
Yeah.
No, I have no desire to do that. I have too many hobbies. I like being able to get off work and be done with work and enjoy things that I love.
That's true. Yeah. Now, talking about things you love, bow fishing, bow hunting.
Mm-hmm. Was that
at a young age too?
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, Dad started us on all this stuff when we were little. He had us all shooting like just little recurve bows. I was probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old, and I'm up in the tree stand shooting at his targets and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't really start bow hunting until I was a teenager. And I started out with a recurve, and I've always shot traditional. He shot traditional. He started us that way, and all of us have stuck with it, you know, thanks to him. He's so encouraging and uplifting, and he just makes people feel like they're capable of doing anything. And I think that mentality right there is what kept the three of us to stick with it, because it was very frustrating. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of challenges that you don't really expect when you're bow hunting with, you know, other equipment and stuff.
I don't know if you know this or not. Like, so a lot of people, veterans in particular, I just listened to a different type of podcast where, you know, you've got these guys and they've turned to like bow hunting and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a way to relax or even just shooting the bow. You know?
Right.
And, you know, because that's what I was going to ask you about is I know you bow hunt, but how about like any firearms hunting? Because the reason I'm asking is I'm just wondering, and what they talk about is, you know, if you're an expert a handgun shooter in particular, you know, it takes a certain amount of discipline, breath control, you know, you got to take into account for the recoil from the weapon and stuff like that.
Right.
So all those principles apply with the bow too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Very, very similar. Yeah. Now, of course, he started us all with guns. You know, he didn't just send us straight to a bow and arrow. And so we killed our first deer, turkey, everything with guns first. And he got us used to that. And then we transitioned to the bow.
Okay,
but So when you're shooting traditional like that, you know, you don't have sights, right? So the position that your body in is critical, and every joint matters, right? So if I'm holding my bow and my wrist is here versus here,
right?
That changes everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody anchors a little bit differently. My anchor point is awful. I don't know why I started. Well, I do know why. I was trying to get more penetration, so I was trying to draw back further. And so I started anchoring like all the way up here at the corner of my eye. As a physical therapist, that is the worst thing I could do for myself because it just creates so much shoulder impingement, rotator cuff impingement, right? Mm-hmm. So most people anchor here. at their mouth or, you know, right below their eye or so. So really, you're just kind of squeezing your shoulder blades, and that's how you're releasing.
Right. Because the further back you can pull, the more penetration you'll have.
More poundage you'll technically get. Yeah, they say for every inch you get, you know, 2 to 3 pounds or so more. But it would have been smarter for me to just probably go up on poundage and not go so far back. But it was just a habit that, I don't know. I liked looking down the arrow, you know.
Yeah, what's the aim point? I mean, I know you can't.
You know, people ask you, how do you aim? How do you aim? Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of different ways to aim. I just look at where I'm shooting, and if you do it enough, your brain just like I can't ever explain it to anybody.
I was just wondering if, like, you know, do you keep your, you know, one eye open, have both eyes open, or is it just preference? Or
both eyes open. Yep. So you got to make sure that every point on your body is the same.
Right.
You got to make sure you're not locked out here, too much pressure here. Some people, and I'll do this sometimes, you know, grip too hard and then you're going to have a twist. And, you know, with the longbows, they're a little bit lighter. They're very lightweight, like extremely lightweight. So they're very sensitive to your touch and your hold and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just takes so much practice, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's an art form.
Yeah, and then things happen that you don't expect to happen. I mean, the first deer that I ever shot at with a bow, I never thought about not coming to full draw, right? Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what I did. So, I mean, I had had a little doe, I mean, 5 yards from me. But it was different than a gun, right? With a gun, you just pull the trigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't feel the force. You're about to penetrate into that animal. And so as I'm drawing my bow, I'm feeling how hard this is, all this weight, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm gonna hurt this thing. I'm thinking that because I'm not in this killer I don't have this killer instinct yet, not that I do now, but I mean, it's just something that's very new to you when you're used to shooting a gun.
So
I didn't even think about coming all the way back to my anchor point. I just released it when I was like here. And I didn't get enough penetration to really do any damage, but that was the first lesson learned. And then I had one really nice buck that I drew back on, and I was so nervous that my fingers, so the knot goes right here. I got 2 fingers under and 1 finger over. Now that's different. Everybody does that different. Some people do 3 under, some people do 2 under, 1 over. I was squeezing the nock so hard that when I came back to full draw, my arrow came off the shelf and was laying across my elbow. And he's standing at 10 yards broadside. So it's a lot to think about. And my bow is 68 inches long. So you got to kind of figure, like, if he comes from this direction, am I going to be able to, how can I maneuver to make sure that my limbs aren't going to hit something?
Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah. It's really interesting. Yeah.
Wow. Now, for most of the time, you guys are up in tree stands.
Yes, most of the time. Like elk hunting, no elk hunting. You're on the ground, and that's something that's new to me. I've been the last 2 years, and talk about excitement.
Yeah, so before we get to – yeah, I want to definitely talk about that. But so now that you – so you've got that – you call it your – dang.
Your draw, right?
My draw length or
– well, when you end up here, you know.
Yeah, my anchor point.
Anchor point. Mm-hmm. So is that where you still shoot from now?
Have you tried
to modify it?
It is, and it shouldn't be, and I need to change it, but I'm just scared.
Yeah.
Because so,
it's like muscle memory.
Right. Like, I've practiced this long doing it that way, and I got this guy at work. He's a physical therapist, and really smart guy. I wouldn't ever want to tell him that to his face, you know, but he's smartest guy.
Don't tell him, yeah.
Right.
But he'll probably listen, though. So.
Oh, yeah. I know. He'll probably hear it. But he tells me all the time, like, you got to change your anchor point. You got to change it. Like, if I want to shoot a long term, you know, for long term, my shoulder, I have to change it. And I think last year I piddled with it a little bit, and I just got so frustrated because, I mean, I'm going from here to here. That's 2-3 inches.
Right.
That changes everything.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so I haven't committed to it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested just because I don't really hunt, but I'm a firearms expert. I trained firearms for most of my adult life, handguns, you know, most particularly.
Right.
That's why I was wondering about the technique and the pattern or the aim points. But, you know, that's why a lot of times it's easier to take a person who's never shot a gun to teach them how to shoot a gun.
Yep.
Yeah, and not and I'm sure that that works for you, because we'll have some people come out to the range. I used to train when I after I retired as a cop. I trained at the Crater Academy, and we'd have first time shooters versus, you know, long time shooters. And if somebody had a technique that worked for them, we didn't change it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a certain platform we shot from, and there's a lot of reasons why we did that. You know, to transition points for other tools on the tool belt, other weapons they can transition to and stuff. But yeah, that's all I was saying. So, I mean, if the technique works for you,
right,
don't change it. But you're worried about the long term effects of damage,
yeah. Right? And when I'm shooting a lot, I can feel it. I can feel it. But you know, so I try really hard to like get in the gym and work my upper back. That's so important to create more space for my anterior shoulder. But and I have to sleep certain ways to make sure that I'm not, like, if I sleep on that shoulder, I'll feel it. I kind of get that pillow and keep that pillow under me to just save my shoulder some too. So, I mean, at least my job definitely helps me to prolong this, but I need to make the change. I just, I've been
scared. You're going to get worse before you get better once you change it.
Right.
You usually don't want to sit there and practice.
Well, right. I mean,
start sucking. You're like,
well, and the funny part will be this, you know, and I don't know this for a fact, but it is, if you take somebody under stress, like you say, when you're shooting that, try to shoot that buck and the arrow came in, you know, to the wrong place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just want to say this real quick is like, you know, you can practice the new technique, but I guarantee, I don't know this, but I bet there's a pretty good likelihood that if something happens instantaneously and you've got to make that shot, instinctively, you're going to go back to that position.
You're exactly right.
You know, say you're sitting there like, and all of a sudden, oh shit, I got a second to make this shot. You're instinctively going to go back to that.
Right. Yeah.
So it's going to be hard to change, but that doesn't mean you have to do that all the time, though, because you'd like to, you know, save your body or your shoulder.
What is it, 10,000 times to perfect something?
Well, I mean, you know.
You do the new one 10,000 more times.
That's why, you know, I think everything starts with the basics, and you know, I know why you explain why you drew back further, but you know, I'm thinking about in terms of everything we teach people nowadays. Everybody wants the outcome first. They don't want to put in that the basic steps to get to where they need to be. Mm-hmm. So you probably could change it, but I bet if a shit shot comes up, you're gonna be back to that spot. That'd be badass, though. Yeah.
I mean, you're so right. It's so hard to unlearn something, and especially something that you've had so much success with.
Yep.
That's where it really gets in my head, you know. But it needs to happen. I just need to commit to it. But I actually just ordered a new custom bow. Wow. I finally decided I would try to get something that, you know, fit me for me. And up until this point, like, I've been using my dad's old longbow. He had a bighorn ram hunter that was 45 pounds. And I was trying to up my poundage, get a little bit more penetration if I could. But I just ordered a custom bow from Omega Longbows. This guy, Keegan McCabe, he makes some pretty awesome bows. And so I'm supposed to get that in May.
Wow.
And so I'll start practicing with that in May for my elk hunt in September. And hope I can get comfortable and confident with that. So,
yeah. So when Eric was talking about, you know, you guys up in the tree stands, but you know, some of the guys I listen to, they elk hunt and stuff. Mm-hmm, and so, you know, you're just moving into. I mean, you can tell us all about it because you've done it.
Yeah. Well, so you know, typically, you know, yes, we start in the tree stands, probably about, I don't know, 14, 15 feet up. Well, I got in with these Lone Wolf custom gear guys. Have you heard of Lone Wolf tree stands?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They're old. I mean, it's an old brand.
It's a big name, right.
Yeah. And Cody DeQuisto, he's the son of the owner of that. Hmm. And he hunts really low, really low. And I've kind of listened to a lot of his like different podcasts and just the educational stuff from those guys who are trying to get so close. And so the last like year or two, I've been trying to do the same. And I've actually, last year, the deer that I killed, I was only 8 feet up in the tree.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
And it's pretty cool because it's, you know, your angle is so much less steep. You know, you're 8 foot up, you're getting more of like a broadside shot than a steep angle when you're 15, 20. Some guys get 20, 30 feet up. I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, and you don't get skylined so much. Like if you're in the middle of the tree, the deer, you know, and I've only been doing this for a short period of time, but based off of what I've done and kind of listening to the guys who are doing it, a lot of times, you know, those deer are looking well above 8 foot. They're looking up, you know? And I don't know if it's just because for so many years they've gotten so used to these guys in the tree stands, 15 foot up in the air, you know?
Interesting.
Or if it's just like the canopy is typically about 8 foot or so, you know? Right. You're a little bit more in the canopy than you are above it.
Yeah.
But it's something that I'm playing with, and I've enjoyed that. And I mean, this year, I mean, that deer was like up in my face. I mean, he was probably, I don't know, 5-6 yards when I shot him, but he was moving fast. And so it was a quick little fling. You know, I had a really small window and I didn't have much time to get turned on him. So I didn't, you know, I don't know. It was different, but I really enjoyed it. And I hope that, you know, I hope that I can continue to have some success with those low hunts and just see what happens. But yeah, so with the ground stuff, you know, that's all new to me too. And right now I'm trying to get a turkey with my longbow. Last year I told myself, I was like, I'm going to commit to the longbow all year and I'm going to just see what I can do. I've been, you know, watching a lot of these like stick boys and, you know, these trad guys try to shoot these turkeys out of ground blinds and like they're successful with it. And so I've been doing the research, and last year I got myself a blind and started trying to set up like they set up. And, you know, it's really weird because, you know, you hunt with people and they're used to their setups. And, like, I'm putting these decoys 6 feet from my blind, you know. And so, you know, sometimes the people you're hunting with are like, what are you doing? That's not going to work. Like, you know, the bird's never going to come in. And so you run into that, you know.
Right.
You run into that. And I just had to say, no, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to see if it works. And we'll see if I can make it come together. And the last day of the season last year, I was by myself. And there was a gobbler out there. He had 4 hens with him. And daggone, if he didn't come up and mount my decoy right in front of me 5 yards, and I was able to get drawn back, and I shot him and I hit him, and so many things came together. I mean, so many things. Wow. Like, I didn't find the bird. I was very disoriented. Like, when he got up on that decoy of mine and his wings came under and I couldn't see his legs, it really threw me off. You know, a turkey's vitals are very small. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd ever shot a turkey with a bow. And so I got very kind of disoriented on where I was aiming, just despite the fact I had a turkey like 5 steps in front of me. And I was like panicking, like, this is happening. You know, I was so excited. It worked, you know. But I didn't find him. But, you know, I learned so much through that. And so this year I'm trying to do the same. And God, I'm really hoping this year I can make it happen. But we'll see what happens.
So I mean, I'm just throwing this out there, asking. So you're out there hunting. Obviously, you've been hunting for a long time. And then you got these guys, you know how guys are. Mm-hmm. We're not that bright. And we think we know everything sometimes. So as a female hunting, I mean, do you find that people, I mean, I would imagine the guys would be most helpful if they were smart, but are there sometimes these jackass guys that, like,
you know? I've dealt with some of those. You really don't know what you're going to get. You know, sometimes I get guys who will look at me and they just have respect, and they'll just say, I want to learn from you, you know? But a lot of times, you know, you get those guys that are a little bit, I don't know if it's a jealousy or an insecurity thing. I don't know. But you get that sometimes too. I've gotten a little bit of everything, really. But
I'm sure you did. But it, I mean, you know, I guess. So when you went out, where did y'all go elk hunting?
We were out in Colorado.
So did you know the people you're going with, or you had to meet them for the first time?
No. So my dad used to go on bear hunts and different things with some buddies of his.
Okay.
And this was a buddy of his. And he's a little bit younger than my dad, but I mean, he can still roll. And so he goes out there and hunts public land and takes his daughter and son-in-law. And he's hunted trad in his lifetime too. So he understands, like, you know, you got to get really close. And he understands what I'm trying to do. And so it's really nice. We're kind of on the same page with things. And
that's cool. Yeah.
So he was nice enough to allow me to come out there, and I was able to hunt with him the first year, and I was supposed to hunt with him last year, but they had an accident. They actually killed. So the success rate having a successful archery kill in Colorado on public land is under 5%.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, and he went out there, took his daughter and his son-in-law, and got both of them a bull. I mean, this guy is phenomenal.
That's wild.
Well, they were butchering, they were cleaning that bull of his son-in-law's, and they were almost done, and he ended up having an accident, and he ended up slicing his thigh, and he was bleeding out like bad. Really bad. He actually, you know, you don't have service out there, so we've got the Garmins and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I was on the beach at the river, and I got a text from his Garmin, and he said, I'm on the top of the mountain, you know, I'm bleeding bad, called SOS. And I guess he hit the SOS button. Nobody came. Nobody answered him. So luckily his daughter and his wife, they're like nurses and whatnot, and they strapped him up, and he hiked 4 miles out of there. His boots full of blood. I mean,
holy smokes. That's a miracle he's alive, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how quickly things can go south.
Oh, yeah.
It's scary. But he had another guy out there who said, you know, that I could go out and hunt with him and if I wanted to. And I said, well, do you trust him? Because I'm going to be sleeping in a tent next to this guy.
You ain't lying. No. Yeah. No shit. Yeah.
He said, out the middle of nowhere. He said, yeah, I trust him. I said, all right, well, if you trust him, I trust him. So I flew out there, and I hunted with this guy for about a week or so.
I've never been out there, okay? So, but I'm just listening to these guys. It makes sense. Like, you try to stay upwind, and you got to move so slow because these animals, these elk, are so in tune to everything, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's wild. So they say that elk hunting is just like turkey hunting, but just much bigger animals.
Yeah, the elk.
Right?
Yeah.
The way you communicate with them, the games you play with them, you know, different things, just trying to talk to them. But yeah, so you got to kind of position yourself to where he's going to come past me and come to the caller, right?
Wow. So kind of explain that. Yeah. So you have a call. It's a two person.
So he would be the one that's calling. And like, let's say this is the elk and he's calling here, I'm going to try to be somewhere in between them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's probably going to come to, you know, 20 yards from where he hears it, and he's going to stop and he's going to be like, I don't see anything. Like, what's going on here? You know,
right.
But by that time he's in my range, you know,
wow.
Or at least that's the plan. So
the elk, I mean, how big are they? I mean, I know.
Oh my gosh, big enough to give me a heart attack.
Huge. I mean, they're like eight. I mean,
now
they're
within. You said 20 yards. Are you within?
Yeah,
five to
I mean,
10 yards of
20,
them. Or?
20 yards is like my max. I haven't had a bull in that close, but I had a cow from me to that laptop this past year. But it was my first day, so I didn't want to use my tag on a cow on the first day. I was really hoping, you know, I might get an opportunity. And it almost came together. I mean, I had a bull at probably 30 yards or so, but he was walking the other direction. But, I mean, those animals are massive.
I can't even imagine. Yeah, I mean, I've seen the pictures, yeah. But
are you doing traditional out there?
Yeah.
I mean, do y'all carry like a sidearm for in case?
No, actually, we don't. And I had a bear come up on me
the
year before
here.
Last.
Yeah.
It was a black bear, but oh my gosh, that thing was huge. And I'm on the ground, and I felt the ground like shaking. And I thought it was him. And I'm like getting ready. Well, I look over, and all I see is black. And he's coming straight to me. And he came to me about 10 yards, and then he just turned broadside and walked directly across from me. And I just had my longbow, and I was like, oh my god, I think I'm about to get eaten alive. This is going to be real interesting. But it was. I don't know. I wasn't worked up because he didn't seem aggressive at all. You know, he didn't even know I was there. You know, if he'd have known I was there, I probably would start sweating a little bit.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize, like, I could, if I'd had a bear tag, that'd have been an awesome thing. But they said they don't usually see bears out there, so I didn't even bother buying a bear tag. And then daggone if I couldn't have had a shot.
Right there.
I've never killed a bear with my longbow. Oh my gosh, I would love to try that too. So I don't know, a lot of things I'd like to do.
So, I mean, I'm just curious. Can you carry another weapon, secondary weapon?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I mean, I might. Yeah, you're trying to do it as traditional as possible, but damn, it might be smart to have something else.
Yeah, you're right, but I'm a Pollock, you know, so you gotta factor that in.
Because I think I remember one night, and this is so long ago. I mean, like Tommy, your dad, and my dad. I mean, they were all talking, and I think your dad just got back from a trip or a year before, and they're like, so do you carry a gun up there? He was bear hunting up in, I guess, where did he go, Canada?
Canada,
maybe?
Probably.
He goes, I don't carry no gun. And they're like, man, are you crazy? You know, bear can climb a tree.
Right?
I think Gore Navi was there too. And they're like, tell us all about this shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, this little young teenager, I'm like, yeah, what the hell is, what are y'all talking about, man?
Well, they just let wolves out in Colorado too a couple months ago.
Oh, man.
So now I'm thinking a little bit differently. Yeah. I don't know. A wolf just, that scares me a little bit.
Yeah, they're badass, man. I mean, they hunt because they're hunting, you know, packs.
Oh, yeah. And when you're walking home, like when you're walking back to camp, because you know you'll hunt until dark, mm-hmm. and then you're walking however many miles back to camp in the dark, and with your flashlight.
Mm.
And when you come up on a set of eyes in the dark like that,
what is that?
Yeah, we walked up on a cat, like an actual like cow, and I thought I was gonna die. When I saw the eyes, I was like, this is where it all ends. I don't know what that is, but I'm about to get eaten.
Now the public land is it all. Mapped out trails and all that stuff, or you kind of just you're just wandering out.
No. And there's a lot of guys out there coming out trying to hunt, so you know that kind of makes it difficult too, because they're, you know, everybody's educating these animals and you're trying to figure out who can get the deepest. You try to get deeper than the next person in hopes that you can kind of get up on something that hasn't been spooked or educated yet. But I mean, I'm new to it. I'm learning so much. I can't say so much, but I've really enjoyed the time that I've had. And hopefully it continues. You know, you just don't know nowadays. I heard something about them discontinuing like non-residential tags or something for over the counter out there. I don't know. It could be a rumor. Who knows? But you just don't know nowadays. So
yeah, it's too bad.
You just got to move out there.
Yeah. But I mean, gosh, we did. I think I added it up. We did 60 miles that week. We hiked 60 miles and we were up to 12,000 foot elevation.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's vigorous.
That's tough.
I mean, I would, because I'm, you know, I'm old like a dad. I'm thinking like a dad, thinking, because, I mean, I guess you could be my daughter. I'm 55. But I'm saying is, you guys are young. I'm picturing like my daughter going out there hunting. I'd be like, all right, what the hell is, I mean, I want her to have every safety precaution. You know, the man, like, you got this gun, you got the GPS, you got the emergency button, you got the first aid kit, you got the, you know.
Well, luckily, you know, since Dad was that adrenaline junkie, he's not too hard on me with that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He trusts the guy that I'm with. I think that's the biggest part, is he really trusts the guy that I go with.
So, but where you camp, I mean, and then you go, so if you walk 60 miles a week, so how far are y'all getting out from camp?
We got a couple different campsites. Yeah. So, you know, you roll up in the truck, you set up a campsite.
Right.
Then you go like, I don't know, somewhere between 4 and 6 miles in, set up another campsite. And then you're hiking a couple miles to get where you're starting to hunt. And then you just like hike all day. Like,
that's
really
what I'm
saying. Hiking like a, you know.
You can see where,
slowly
twisted
moving
ankle
throughout
the day. Or the guy cutting himself. That's life and death at this point.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely.
And what time of year is it?
September.
So at night, I mean, what's the weather out there?
Oh, you just don't know. sometimes it's cold, wet, rainy. Sometimes I think it was probably in the 40s, 50s last year for them when they were there. But when I went, it was in the 70s. You know, you just don't really know what you're going to get.
It can change, yeah.
Yeah.
But how about once the sun goes down, is it how much of a variance in temperature?
Oh, it can vary. I would say. What, 15 to 20 degrees?
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, but, you know, you got to think about the elements too, just the weather.
I mean, luckily, like when you're hiking that hard, though, it's not too bad. But
yeah.
I definitely, you try to keep your layers in your pack and stay prepared at all times.
I think probably the riskiest shit we did was that river float. Skip's gone with y'all a couple of times, but we do the same float.
Oh, really?
Yeah, up in Scottsville.
That one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying that's about as risky as we've been. I mean, we've been some hiking, but not like that.
That's a fun float, though. That's a really fun
It is
float.
Fun.
We love that shit, man.
We've had bear come up on us on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Black bear and some cubs.
So, I mean, yeah. This,
like
I mean,
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, basically. So he...
Yeah, it was pouring down raining, too.
So we, you know, I guess you and Frankie, I mean, I don't want to take away from your story. I mean, because it's about you. But basically, like, here's some novices going camping, okay? I'm just going to lay this out for you. So we go to the campground, but it's full. So the guy's like, yeah, just walk out on the Appalachian Trail about 100 yards from, you know, you can camp anywhere out there. But, you know, preferably you'd like you to be 100 yards away from the campground. So I'm like, okay, no problem. So, and they have day places up there, too. This is on Shenandoah. I mean, I know you're laughing at this because it seems, you know, hokey, but I mean, but because you've been out in like, you know, Rockies and shit. But anyway, so he and I go out and it's hard to find a place to set up a tent because it's hilly. It's nothing flat. So we find a spot
Like, damn, this is flat.
Flat as a bitch. I mean, the grass nothing is around. Down, shit. So we set the tents up and everything. Kick some big turds out of the way and shit. Yeah, we all these big turds are there. Like, what the fuck is this? So, you know, it's the bear den, right? What it is, right?
That would be good.
So you know, we leave all the food, you know, at the day camp place, and we all hike to the tent about 2 in the morning, like you're saying, you know. We're laying there, I'm halfway asleep, and Shelly,
you can hear the
yeah,
no shit. And the grunts, and we're like, well, first mom wakes up, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, we hear some the trees were rubbing together. Yeah, you know, tree branches can rub together like they make that. And I'm used to that because I mean we did our own little, you know, hiking and shit locally here in the woods and stuff and tents, but. Anyway, so Shelly's like, what the hell is that? I was like, just the trees. Don't worry about it. That's all that is. So about, you know, 2 in the morning. Now, my wife's pretty, she's pretty tough, man. She's not some wimpy person. She's like, Eric, get up. I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, there's a bear out there. And now I'm like, chill out, man. You're dreaming. Ain't no freaking bear out there. She's like, listen, dumbass. I'm like, okay. him and his girlfriend are asleep next to us, right? Oh, they're married now. But so sure enough, I hear like a whimper. I was like, I think that's just that tree branch. And I hear the. So we set our tent up.
That is hysterical.
In the bear's little spot.
It wasn't all our fault because the dudes above us said they were being tracked for like 3 days.
They're so
like,
what happened? So what
right, so,
yeah, so I wake him up and we had some guns with us and stuff. And I mean, well, for me, you know, I sat up I'm like, oh fuck, there's a bear up there. I mean, you could hear. I mean, it was unmistakable. So I'm about, you know, I'm like, all right, I got to be cool because I'm like the dude. I'm the daddy and shit.
Dad, I got to be cool.
So I had to like take some deep breaths, you know, like when I was a cop, I had to take deep breaths. I was like, all right, get your shit together, bro.
Did you get big? You swell up, walk out like, hey, like you were going to handle it?
He woke me up. He was like, take this. He gave me a gun. I was like, what's going on?
I'm like, hey, son, wake up.
We're going fighting bears.
Yeah, but here's the part that we did enjoy about it, though. You know, we never opened the tent to see the bear. We're not stupid. But the biggest risk to us was there were some people camping around us, too, because the campsite was all full. So it was like 3 or 4 other people out there with us in the area we were in. And there were 3 guys that were, you know, backcountry hiking. And this bear had been tracking them. So when they came to Lewis Mountain Campground, I said, we're done. My dad's driving to pick us up. These were adults. I mean, my dad's coming to get us. We're done. We're not going back out there. So yeah,
these guys were terrified.
Oh so when we hear the bear, I'm worried about the bear. And then I'm start thinking, if these fuckers wake up, they're already terrified,
freak.
Right?
Yeah.
So sure enough, we hear them. You know, I guess they can hear them too. They're stirring up.
They start shining flashlights down on us.
So we're shining the flashlight back. Yeah, we're like, don't shoot. We're down here, motherfuckers. You know, like, so that was our biggest worry. But anyway. Jesus.
The whole time, my wife now, Frankie, wakes up. I'm like, it's all right. There's a bear outside. She sees the gun in my hand. She's just like, what are y'all doing? It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And she's like, it's just the rain. I was like, no, Frank, there's bear outside the tent. She was like, okay. And put earbuds in and her sleep mask and just turned over.
No, went back really? To sleep. Not a care in the world.
Not a care in the world.
That's
she
hilarious.
Said, I was getting my sleep. And she's like, if I win, I win. But you guys were there, so I was good.
That's a great way to be.
But there was a moment there that I'm missing the bullshit. It's like, you know, we find, so just, same thing. If she attacks or whatever, but we didn't think she would. I mean, why would she? You know what I mean? But I mean, but they always say the worst case scenario is a cub and a mom.
Yeah, you just don't know.
So I laid down and just kind of. I mean, this sounds corny as shit, but I mean, I kind of just made peace with the fact, and I've like really enjoyed listening to her being out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, you're just like, oh, all right, God's got this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just gonna let it be.
I just made that connection, but it ended up being like a surreal experience.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
How close they get to the tent?
I think she was right outside that freaking tent, man. I mean, it was.
And when you could feel the.
That's when you know
you. And she was. You could hear her breathing.
You could hear her breathing.
Yeah. She was right there.
We literally. Basically, so the next day
she
we're
was
taking.
Like, Dan, there's a tent in my bed.
Right.
Because it was raining and shit. It was cold that night. That's the other part we left out. So they went. Basically, some down trees, and I guess made her sleeping up under the down trees and that soft grass. And our dumb asses put the tent like 2 or 3 feet from it.
Yeah, it was like
so. The next day,
good spot.
We're tearing the tents down, and Shelly's coming down. We're carrying stuff back. I'm like, so I guess those big things we were kicking were like bear turds. She's like, do what?
That's hilarious.
She's like, you guys have no clue what the hell y'all are doing. But that would have been a clear sign to somebody that knew the outdoors.
Yeah, I would imagine. I don't know. You live and you learn. You know, you made it through.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a corny story.
I'd do it again.
This shit's real. Now, have you ever heard like a bobcat out there? You know, and where have you been?
Heard them screaming and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that is that's eerie as hell too.
That is eerie. Yeah, that is eerie.
Yeah, because I mean, I won't go through the whole story, but you know, we go up there a lot, and then the Shenandoah, and we got a camper now, but we always just took tents. But yeah, one night we were out there, Shelly and I were alone, and we heard that screaming, that squelching, mm-hmm. or wherever it is. We thought it was a lady screaming like something happened. But
oh yeah.
It is a horrible sound.
Yeah, if you don't know what that is, that can be really weird.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Yeah, that was creepy as hell, man. That would be like a bone chilling. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the?
What are we listening to right now?
All right, so back to Colorado.
Yeah, it was a good time. Great experience.
How long y'all stay out there? Two weeks, 7 days?
He stays out there the whole season. Well, he stays out there almost a whole month. But I don't have much time off.
Yeah.
I'll take 7 days. I'll do about 7 days out there, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then I'll try to save the rest of my time for like bow season.
Man.
Now, do your brothers do it too? Are they?
They haven't done the elk hunting thing. I'm trying to get my younger brother to go. I'd really like him to go because he is so into the camp. Well, you know, the camping and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like he would just eat it up. But I don't know if he'll go this year, but I hope he does.
Yeah, because he was, I know just because my parents, you know your parents, like, you know, your dad and brother were working at Fort Lee, it's called something different now, like the rec center, the rec stuff. And then I guess your brother was doing it for a while. And then, so I mean, he has a degree in that stuff, right?
So he went through school and got a degree in outdoor recreation and whatnot. Yeah. He works at Treetime Adventures right now in Prince George.
Okay.
So he loves the outdoor entertainment stuff for sure. But I'm just like, gosh. And then, you know, if he could get in on this, then this is something him and I could go do together.
Right,
you know? Because it'd be awesome to have a man in my life that is, you know, my age who could, we could do something like that. You know, that would be really cool.
It would be cool, yeah.
Not in a tent with a stranger. And
yeah.
Well, the other part is, exactly. Plus, it's your brother and y'all are close. And that's
yeah, him and I are very close. We're very
and
close.
And so him and his sister are very close. I mean, we're blessed by that.
So much. Yeah. So very blessed. Like, whenever I have success in the woods, Dad's the first call, and Van's the second.
Yeah.
Always.
That's awesome. I mean, that's cool y'all are that close. I mean, I don't think a lot. I mean, not many people have that kind of closeness with their family. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Now with the bow fishing stuff, are you guys – does your dad kind of run that? I know you guys go take charters out.
Well, yeah, so we don't necessarily charter, but we work with Bass Pro Shops. And we used to do competitions and stuff. And then we started working with Bass Pro. We kind of switched gears and we started doing a lot of volunteer work for, veterans and wounded warriors.
Oh, that's cool.
Freedom Alliance. And we worked with some new programs last year, just taking out vets and stuff. And it's really enjoyable, you know, especially, you know, you get these guys who they've been suffering from PTSD and stuff. They come out there and it's pretty laid back and relaxed and they're getting to shoot stuff and hang out and socialize and some camaraderie and everything. It's a good time. Yeah. We really do have a good time with it. And so we do that just kind of, you know, in the summer when we can.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, because that's kind of what I was talking about with the bow stuff. And that was a little bit different. I never thought about the organization you're working with. But if you want to, we can put that at the bottom of this podcast, too, if you're affiliated with anything like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
It's up to you, but yeah.
Yeah.
Just to get it out there, the info.
Yeah, we try to do just mainly volunteer trips. Because, you know, we don't have a charter license to actually charge people or anything. Okay. So we try to give back to who we can.
So, I mean, what area are y'all doing that in?
Well, my parents have a place in Gloucester on the Pianca Tank. So we go out there towards the bay and we shoot stingrays. That's what we really enjoy. But, you know, we'll shoot like gar and carp and stuff and freshwater around here.
Right.
But typically we just do a lot more like saltwater.
Yeah.
Whatever. But it's a lot of fun. I tell you, those rays put up a fight.
Do they?
We've lost many a man overboard and bows overboard too.
Really?
We had this one guy. He bought a brand new bow and he shot a stingray. And, you know, I guess he was shooting a AMS bottle. And so all the string goes up into the bottle and it can get like knotted up. Mm. And so if it gets knotted up and that ray's taken off, it'll rip that bow right out of your hand. This guy lost a brand new bow that way.
Man.
God. That sucks.
I had one. I had a ray rip my bow out of my hand last year, but I was able to jump in after it. And I got my bow.
Like, I'm not losing this.
I know. I was swimming. I got it. And then the bottle broke off of the bow, and then I had to get that. And I was like, I'm falling apart out here.
So, once you shoot them, how do you get them in? Is he reeled in like a fishing rod?
Yeah, so you got a couple different setups. So you got like a AMS bottle, which is just the bottle where the string you – reel it, the string comes into it. But the bottles, you can't reel a fish in the weight of the fish. It's just to you reel it just to retrieve the line back into the bottle. Or you can get a muzzy reel, which is what you're talking about, right? So you shoot it and then you actually reel it in like a fish. And then there's another setup, like a spool, where you can, you know, spool it in around.
I've seen that too.
But most people use the bottles, but we'll start people out on the muzzy reels just because most people are used to using a fishing rod, you know. But what the problem we run into a lot of times is like these people will forget to hit the button to release the line. You know how before you cast, you got to hit the button, right? And so they'll shoot and then the line will just snap and the arrows will lose the arrows, you know. But, you know, you get excited and you don't think about it. And the fish is right there. You know, you just want to shoot it. So,
damn, that would suck.
Yeah. If we use a couple of those AMS bottles and we got two or three rays on and they're all going different directions and dad's trying to keep the line out of the motor and we got someone trying to gaff and you got to hand line those in, it can become so chaotic.
How many do you pull in on like a normal day?
Oh, I don't know. We've had anywhere between, 8 to 30 some. You're exhausted at the end of 20, 30 stingrays. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Getting them in the boat. Insane. And, you know, a couple of us have been barbed. I haven't been barbed yet, but we were at a competition a couple years ago. And it was the day before the competition. The guy was out there practicing, and he pulled a ray in the boat. And that thing hit him right here on the inside of his thigh. And his whole system started shut down. He couldn't breathe. I mean, they had to medevac him to the hospital.
Dang.
So you definitely have to take it seriously and be very careful with it, because they shoot that poison up into you and they hit you just right. It can do some serious damage. So
I don't know about that.
That's what happened to what's his face?
Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin, that's his name.
Yeah,
right?
Steve Irwin. Yeah,
yeah, right in the chest.
Damn,
that'll do it.
Wow, I don't like getting stung by a catfish. I can't imagine getting stung by.
I know, right?
That thing's hurt like hell to get you in the hand.
You haven't been hit by one?
I haven't yet. Now I have made some dumb moves. I remember one time I pulled a big Southern in, and the Southerns, those are the big round ones, right? The Countos are more like the diamond shaped. But these Southerns, they get up to, we've shot them like 70 pounds or something crazy. Jeez. But, I remember one time I had gaffed one and brought one in, and I was standing over it and I was looking over at something else, and he was right. And they like to do, they like to do this.
Yeah.
And my dad yelled at me. He's like, Meredith, watch your leg. And I was like, oh, we'll jump back, All it takes is you to get distracted just for a second. Yep. I mean, duh. But yeah, dad's been hit. And
where did it hit you? With their tail or their, is it under their?
So it depends on the type of ray. The barb itself, if you're shooting like an Atlantic, like a small ray, the barb is at the end of the tail.
Wow.
And same thing for those Southerns, the big Southerns, the barb is at the end of the tail. But if you're shooting like a Countos, typically that barb is right at the base of the body where the tail starts. So that's not, not as bad, in terms of it throwing its tail around and whatnot. But they can flip and flop and move real quick sometimes. But we'll try to take the barb off if we're going to, keep the ray so nobody gets hit with it or anything. But those Atlantics are good eating, too. We enjoy eating those.
Yeah, I was curious if you could eat them or not.
Yeah.
What does it taste like?
The Atlantics are not nearly as tough. They taste more like chicken. Countos, they're tough. Like, I don't know. They urinate through their wings, right? And they're so massive, and they use their wings to gain so much momentum and stuff. So those muscles are so thick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that meat is just kind of tough. But we'll use that for like crab pot bait and stuff like that. Dad runs crab pots and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use that. But it's a fun day. It really is. You're out there like in your bathing suit, soaking up the sun. It's kind of like a summer version of duck hunting.
Wow.
You just get to socialize and shoot things.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Sounds awesome.
Damn. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, how do you prepare the ray? I mean, do you
My mom does that. I haven't prepared a ray myself.
I don't know if, like, you know, I've seen, like, I thought they said, like, the...
I mean, yeah, you got to obviously take the skin off of them, and then she fries them up, typically.
Yeah. What's the... what did y'all have the other night at dinner? What did Frankie have? Scallops. Mm-hmm. So they said, like, the scallops you get, like, in a frozen scallops are actually, like, stingray.
Yeah, they punch out the sting. Yeah.
Yeah, they scoop it out like an ice cream scoop.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all tripping out doing
that. No, we haven't done that.
I was just curious. I don't know. I mean, no, I'd be dead because I'd try to grab the ray by the tail. And, I thought the barb was under their, like, their body up here somewhere.
And sometimes they'll have more than one. I mean, sometimes I'll have a couple of them.
Shit, I'm going to stay away from that.
I can see you diving in the water, too, if you drop something.
Well, I dive after, yeah. After my rod, yeah.
You know, if you think there's a chance, then you just got to go for it.
I would do it. But shit, we did that river float and the... we had a rod. It was my grandpa rod reel. The same up there in Scottsville down to Drury's Bluff. That's where we take out, I think. Is that what it's called, Drury's Bluff?
That don't sound right. It was the hardware and then...
Yeah, anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? So the water was up, and I dropped that rod. It was my grandfather's, Boompaw's, great Boompaw. And I was thinking about going in to get it, and you're like, bitch, you ain't going in that water. Yeah,
it was moving quick.
That water, it was, you couldn't see it. I was like, dude, I got to get this freaking rod back.
So.
And you're like, hell no. We had to let it go.
As soon as it hit the water, it was gone. It was, but I was in, like, a deeper spot. It was just, it sunk immediately. I was like, nah.
I tell you what, if you're not smart on the water, things can go wrong quick.
Yeah, it's dangerous. Yeah. I just felt bad. He had just passed and we got all the rods and reels and we had.
Yeah, like, but that was crushing.
It sucked. But yeah, so I would always want to go every year to that float, right? And we'd argue back and forth. It's like six of us that would go. So we started going with my best friend. We grew up together. His dad would take us. So when our sons were old enough, we said, hey, let's redo this shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then the problem's been the water's been so high lately. Mm-hmm. You know, the water level. So it's dangerous. So the last year, I was like, you know, I'm always pushing the limit. I was like, fuck it, we're going, man. I don't care how high the water. Well, I mean, there's a limit.
Right.
But it was at the limit, right? And there's a certain section that it's like a class, it's a ranked rapid, whatever the ranks are. It's actually a ranked rapid. So, but in low water, it's nothing, but it was high and it was pretty tough. And what you're saying happened to us. We were trying to go through, you know, in between the rocks. It's actually the size canoe your dad has, the bigger size canoe.
And you have like an old town canoe?
Yeah. And because we got
17 foot, I think.
Got all the gear in there and stuff. But we got broadside against that rock. And I had to hit it with my arm to keep us from going over.
And the water was inches from coming in.
Yeah.
And we went out with tents, coolers.
But we would have been like stuck there. And when we got out, I was like, all right, fuck it. That's it. That's, we ain't doing this.
Yeah, that's scary.
Because we were also scary. Like the youngest, like most fit people on the trip compared to.
What else you were finding?
The guy that goes with us. Yeah, he's
not
like,
younger, but not as fit.
Yeah, a little thicker.
A little thicker.
He's like old school, you know.
And he only brought an aluminum canoe too, so he's hitting up rocks, and this is like boom.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ!
They hit a rock so hard one time, they were full paddle, right? And they hit the rock, and it shot them both backwards instantaneously.
No. I don't know how it happened.
Get whiplash from that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were sitting
there. It was him, and then his son's also
they're both
a big boy.
They're big guys, you know, they're overweight guys. But they were paddling. They had some good momentum, man. And they hit that freaking rock, and instantaneously, they were going backwards.
I think they're trying to get up on the shore, and there was no shoreline. It was just rock, and they just... Boom, like that fast.
It bounced off of it. And we thank God we got to see it. I mean,
y'all were probably laughing so hard. Oh,
we just rolled right by them. I'll see you boys later. They're holding their necks like,
that's
damn.
And then the best part is like, you know, Skip. I mean, but he had that one man canoe.
How'd he do with it?
Not good. He gets mad as shit. Like, he was an anchor out there, like fish anchored. I'm like, dude, you can't anchor out here.
Fuck it.
And he had like this system where the rope would go around his boat.
Yeah.
Every time it would get under his boat. And just be cool, dude. They ain't gonna go over. Just relax, right?
Grab me. Grab the boat.
He's screaming at us and trying to save him. We're like, dude, we're not gonna get caught in this shit.
That's hilarious.
I don't want to say too much because he might listen to this, but he likes to invent shit, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
And he wanted some kind of like tree stand thing or something.
It was like, some kind of
one man tent, like a tent hammock or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can buy them. You know, they don't cost much. I ended up just buying him one. Go, like, do you want to get yourself killed out here?
But no, he had a regular hammock with a regular like Lowe's tarp, and he tried to like bungee cord over top of it and
kind of rig it up.
It didn't work. Yeah.
Yeah, because no, there's no mosquito net in it and everything. In the middle of the night, he's just getting eaten alive by the skeeters, you know?
God, yeah, those
things
are miserable.
You know the best part of – I almost said his name. I'm going to say it. Russ's boat.
Yeah, was, fuck Russ, man.
So it was already aluminum. And so the front seat was like a normal canoe, just a bench seat. And his seat was like a bass boat in the back. It was like 2 feet above the water. So he's sitting in a canoe that's already like water level.
And he's
the boat's
up
sitting
there
like this, and he's like 2 feet above the water fishing. So you see him floating down the river, just this big dude. Just
tell me, y'all got like pictures of this? Somewhere.
We got some.
We got
yeah.
pictures somewhere. Oh yeah,
yeah. I can send you one if you want. But this is a guy that gets stuck. I mean, so you've been out there. Uh-huh. We'll have to wrap this up in a minute. But yeah, I know it's getting late. But this bitch gets stuck on a rock. And literally the same rock every year. I mean, it's almost like, how is it? It's not humanly possible. Am I lying, dude?
And it's funnier every year, right?
Yeah, every year.
Right before the bridge, there's the drop off, and then just there's this massive rock in the middle of the river that you. There's two V's. Like yeah. you can't. It's completely avoidable. Every year he's hit it.
Is there drinking involved in this?
Yeah, with him at least. Right. Yeah, two cases.
We'll
of beer.
Use that as the excuse then. Right?
Yeah, but during that, he's probably still drunk from the night before. But I mean, every year, so I think we did it 4 or 5 years in a row.
Yeah, he starts at 8 a.m., so he's already.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not humanly possible to get stuck on the same rock every year for five years in a row or something.
Some people are talented like that. You know?
Yeah. The worst one, maybe it was the last year, he hit the rock and, I mean, didn't capsize the boat, but. No, I think he did.
He tried to stand up or some shit. Yeah. You get killed doing that. You'll get hung up on the rocks, you know.
Has he used the same boat every year?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that boat is still intact.
Huh? Somehow.
It's a groom.
That's a tough-ass boat.
I was going to say, that boat sounds rock solid. We need to get us one of those.
It's a grooming. I don't know if that brand is maybe still around, I guess. But that his dad had that boat when we were kids.
Really?
And the bass are still floating. And this guy probably weighs 380. You know what I'm saying?
God dang.
Am I lying, bro?
Least.
It got some patches on it somewhere, at least.
No. Some dents.
Tough son of a bitch. I know that. Yeah, but you know.
Last year he flipped the boat and we're trying to grab his cooler and stuff and he's just floating down the under the
with a beer
under
in
the
his
bridge.
Hand. Yeah.
Saved his beer. Yep.
Oh, that's good times though. Gosh. That's so much fun.
And I think I do have a video of that because we were already on the boat ramp waiting for him. My dad's like, just film him. He's probably going to hit that same rock. I was like, <"I'm> not. Damn, hit the rock.
That's so great.
Went overboard. He's floating down the river. Help.
Y'all boys going to do something or what? Like, what the fuck do you think we're going to do?
That was the best part was the, I don't know if it was just a regular cop or if it was the actual.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Anyway, I think it was two cops on the boat ramp checking people's IDs and stuff.
No, they were, what you call, game and inland fishery. Game wardens. Okay. They call them something different.
They
now.
Must have been game wardens. But yeah, because they were on the boat ramp watching him fall off the boat, float to the boat ramp. And he's, you got a fishing license, sir.
That's hilarious.
Let me add one more thing to it. So they had made, like, a certain person had made, like, this, yeah. I don't want to bore you this.
No, bit. No, you're good. I'm enjoying this.
This cat made, like, a,
the same one who made the.
The tarp. Yeah.
The tent. Yeah.
So we found like a small trailer. He tried to convert it to like a tent. You know, you could tow it behind the truck, put a couple canoes on it and stuff. So these game wardens, I mean, I was a cop 20 years. They don't really want to, they're out there because they have to be. They don't really want to mess with people. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, let's just sit here and chill. We're good, you know? Unless you're really just, you know, effing up, right?
Yeah.
So they see the guy flip the canoe, you know, they see all that. And then they see, I was trying to back down this man-made trailer, you know. And as soon as we put a canoe on it, the whole thing breaks.
No.
It breaks in half. And here come the game wardens, you know.
Because like, he had only tested it with his kayak and maybe one other canoe.
News.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when that happened.
As soon as you put two canoes on there, the thing went.
And here come both game wardens. And I was like, all right, here we go.
Any tickets?
Nah, because I was standing out there and I kind of walked up to him. I kind of tried to meet him before they got down there. And they like, you know, I'm like, hey, you guys doing? And they're like, all right, you know, I think I said, how you guys doing, sir, or some bullshit, whatever I said. They're like, you're a cop or something, right? I'm like, well, you know, I'm a retired cop. And like, he's like, what the hell is going on down there? I'm like, you don't want to know, bro.
You don't know that guy.
So I said, yeah, I said, my dad's trying to make this thing. It's all jacked up. He's like, how fast can y'all get that cleaned up? Like, we got it. We got it. We need to put it in the back of the truck and get the hell out of the way. He's like, just do that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so we had a pyramid of canoes on top of the...
Yeah, they were like...
On top of the Yukon, all rigged up so we could drive it.
Those are the best stories, though. I mean, oh, sometimes you gotta love it awesome. When it all goes bad because God knows it's funny to tell later.
It's so funny, man. And I was trying to cut them off because... I think they had all that. They still had their beer cans and stuff float in the damn canoes. I'm like, oh.
You're trying to like throw all the beer cans away while he's like distracting them.
Throwing them in the truck real quick.
Damn.
Good times. Those were good times. Now we do golf trips, which still good times.
Yeah. Yeah. We still need to go back to the river float. Are y'all still doing that float?
Van and Dad did it last year together. And then me and Dad and Van did it the year before that. We've been doing it every couple of years.
I mean, yeah, it is really nice.
It is. When you can get a group of people and camp out, like.
We love that, man.
There's nothing more fun than that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You get down a little island out there, start a fire. I mean, it's the best, man.
Yeah. I'll never forget. We stopped one. The first year that we went, it was Van and I, and I don't know, maybe another guy. And we found this little island, and it was a full moon. Mm. And the island, the actual sandbar, like the sandbar came out to almost the middle of the river.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so we had built a fire out there, and we had our chairs, and we had our little liquor drinks. Yep. And it was a bright sky, all the stars were out, and we were listening to country music, and I was like, man, I'll never forget this moment. Like,
oh, man.
You know when you just have those moments, you're sitting there, and you're like, wow, this is something I'll always remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that with us, too, because we had the canopy off of the tent. And we were laying down. Like the first, we'd done it 3 or 4 years. I mean, 4 years. We're going.
That was the year. The first year we went, it was the year that dragonflies hatched.
Oh my god!
It was a big drought. And or no, maybe it was opposite. No, yeah, it was a big drought. So they all laid their eggs on the banks, and when the rains came, they all hatched. So I mean, there was thousands of dragonflies.
You'd be fishing, and they would land on the tip of your rod, land on your shoulder.
Oh wow!
They're everywhere.
You were covered. And then that night there was like thousands of lightning bugs in the trees. So you're sitting there and it looks like stars. It's just.
Yeah, we were laying in the tent and we had to, you know, because it was nice out and we could see the stars. I'm exactly like you were. I'm like, man, this is heaven right here, bro.
Yeah. Those moments you're just like, God.
Damn, it's beautiful. So then that same day that we wake up and the same guy I'm telling you about, the truck driver, I'm looking over across the, you know, we're on the island, a different whatever island.
I didn't mention he's a truck driver, but it's just.
Yeah, I said his name is Russ McCabe. I said, take a look at it over there, boys. That's something you're never going to see again.
yeah, this is 8 a.m. in the morning. Man's smoking a cigarette and brushing his teeth in between puffs and then rinses his mouth with a Mountain Dew.
He's smoking a cigarette, brushing his teeth, drinking a Mountain Dew.
That's kind of talented. I mean, dude, really, I can't even imagine trying to do that.
I said, dude, you got take a look at that because you're never going to see that again. You'll never see that again.
So y'all are going with him again this year then, right?
Oh, yeah.
We got to set it up. Yeah. We always go in June. We got to push it back.
Yeah.
It's not as wet. Because I think August is when it's a little lower.
Yeah.
We should all try to go the same weekend. That'd be awesome.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah. Set it up.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, Shelly and Frankie wants to go too. So, I mean, they want to go.
Yeah, a huge group, yeah.
Or we just leave them at home. Usually it was all like just, we used to do on Father's Day weekend. That's what we're saying.
Right. Yeah,
so the girls would do something. We would go out and.
That's why I say that. Yeah, I'm not trying to get in trouble. But don't, my wife don't listen to this podcast anyway.
No, neither does mine.
She can probably hear from the kitchen, right?
But no. Well, we listened to it one time and I asked her about an episode. She goes, I don't listen to that shit. I've listened to you for the last 30 years.
You know, that's true love right there. That's what that
I didn't take offense.
Yeah. Now you can say whatever you want.
Yeah. That's why I can say, yeah, leave the girls at home, man. We're heading out.
If she just started screaming from the kitchen right now, I would laugh so hard.
She's
what did you say?
She's the kind of person that chokes you in your sleep.
Now she, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She let them know about it later.
She's sneaky like that, huh?
Yeah. She'd like be the person that sews you to the mattress or some shit. You know what I mean?
Sews you to the mattress.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it shows you to the mattress, and then that's it.
Man, we do have to go this year.
Those are the ones to be scared of, man.
Yeah.
You got to really watch what you say.
need to. All right, so how long have we been talking? Oh, damn. We better tie this to a come up, man, to an end here.
So anything you'd like to?
Yeah, what else you want to talk about?
Plug, gosh. Say?
I don't know. I mean, this has been enjoyable. I've enjoyed this. We've covered a lot of bases tonight, really.
Yeah, we jump all over the place, but I think it's nice that way. We've had some people want to lay it out, but you know, this is like, and this is what I like about this kind of format is, you know, we kind of know of each other, but we haven't really had a real conversation. But people right. don't have real conversations anyway anymore.
Ain't that the truth?
So yeah. we're sitting here just shooting the shit, you know. And the,
it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's fun. And the people like to listen to it, like your family, your friends, like, you know, they'll listen to it because they like you, and they and your dad will love it because he gets to hear about himself and how proud of
head over this one.
I tell you, I hear some, like, I have so many people come into my work, they see my last name. Did you ever know of a Joe Peraz? I'm like, I've heard of him.
Best thing about it, when you said your dad, I mean, if he had to do something, he did it. If he had to handle business, you know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. But short of that, the nicest guy on the planet, man. Mm-hmm. And then that's real talk, man.
And I think that's, you know, he's my idol. And just to know how much success he's had and to know how strong of a man he was, you know, he is. But back then, the way he handled business and took care of things and how humble he is. That's like the kicker, right? Because so many of these things that my dad did and his successes, I never heard from my dad. You know, I always heard from other people. And he just sit there and act like, not, you know. And I've said this before, like, he's done so much, and he can go out somewhere and a boy will come up to him and try to tell him about, you know, some deer he killed or something, which is so insignificant in comparison to what my dad has done. But my dad will never once like mention himself, and he will lift that person up and make them feel like they've done this, you know, accomplished this huge feat. And you just don't find people like that anymore. It's so hard to come by. Everybody wants to sit there and, you know, compare their successes and not try to embrace and,
you know,
encourage the other person. You know, a lot of people listen to speak instead of listening to listen, you know, to understand.
I like that. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He's very much that way. And I could talk about him all day.
Well, that's when you know you're a badass.
When you don't have to, yeah.
You ain't got shit to prove. You've already done it all. Yeah. Gosh. I mean, but not everybody does it. You're right. I mean, you'll go somewhere, and I've heard it's like a true friend is a person that hears what you're saying and not try to top the story. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, I did so-and-so. It's like, nah, man, just let the person live in that moment.
Right.
Yep.
Help them embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, that's very important. You know, and I think that's how we raise our kids. I mean, they're both humble people. And then I'm not saying that just to... Because you say it, but it made me think about it. It's like, you know, let people have their glory, man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's important, man.
Yep. Yep. We got I mean my world out there today.
Yep.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's terrifying, yeah. But I think we'll be all right.
We're going to be fine.
People like us will come through, man. I think the real America is going to wake up.
I hope so.
You know, the silent majority. And I'm not trying to be political, but I mean, there's people, most people are like us.
I agree. Yeah,
it is most people.
I just give you a good example. So I work with kids that have like now that I'm retired, anxiety or like on the spectrum or something like that. And a lot of them I take fishing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this kid that we were fishing today, as a matter of fact, before I got home, and the kid's rod broke. You know, he was trying to pull too hard, but I couldn't get to where he was. It's like on a platform fishing, you know, off like this little walkway. But there was a family, you could tell they were really well to do. I think the grandmother was probably from like Israel or somewhere. She was from another country because they were all sitting there with her. Mm-hmm. And she was obviously like probably in her 90s. And her kids were probably in their 60s. And they had like another daughter who was probably in their 30s. So when his rod broke, he was on the other side of them and it hit him. I don't know how he broke it, but anyway, it hit him right here. And that little old lady jumps up and runs over to him and is like rubbing his arm. You okay, darling? You okay? And she goes, you're okay, you're okay. And, you know, they thought that was my son, you know. And I was trying to, like, walk up to him. I took my time. But it was a great experience for him. But that's what makes me believe this faith, you know.
The vast majority is good.
Yeah, she's like, you're okay, sweetie. And she knew he was embarrassed. She goes, I got 7 grandsons. You won't be all right. But they were from Maine. They didn't have a southern accent.
Right.
They were like, and she had, like, a German or, you know, I think they were talking about Israel a lot. So maybe she's from, you know, Israel. She's over here at the States. But, I mean, it's just human nature to do that stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I told him, I said, and he did good, too, because he's kind of socially inept in a way, kind of awkward.
Kind of introverted and
stuff. Yeah, but he loved it, man.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm proud of you, dude. Man, you did that well. And he's like, she helped me.
Oh, that's so cool.
That has helped happen today, man.
Yeah, always good people.
Yeah.
All right, so wrapping it up, I always ask all the guests, if you're on death row and you had a final meal.
A final meal?
Yep, what would your meal of choice be?
Do you know that, though? You know how they do that? You get your final meal if you're about to, yeah, you can, you could just.
What would my final meal be? I mean, I love some crab legs. I'd probably have to have my crab legs with some butter, you know, melted butter. I think that'd have to be my to-go meal.
Anything with it or what?
Are you talking about a table of crab
Coors
legs?
Coors Light, table of crab legs.
Silver bullet.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, sound good?
Yeah. Silver bullet. Damn. Well, you can't argue with that.
God, yeah, I'm ready for that. I'm so ready for that.
All righty.
Well,
thank y'all so much. Well,
thank you so much. I mean, it was awesome, man. I had a great time.
I enjoyed it. We would get my dad in here, let him tell stories.
Oh, man. Yeah, talk to him and let him know. I mean, we could make it so y'all both could be. We'll have to get another microphone, maybe a bigger table. Yeah.
Can you imagine if we had like Boop in here or Skip in here and him? And
oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That'd be like a 4-hour podcast, probably.
Yeah.
Mike could do that shit.
Yeah, we could make it work.
My face would hurt by the end of that. I'd be laughing so hard.
I think you and your dad would be good, because I mean that'd be. It's just something to throw out there. We'd love to do it, because that's one more thing before we leave. So I'm trying to get some other people in here too. Like I've got some guys that are like Vietnam vets and stuff.
Oh wow, that'd be cool.
That one is my neighbor, and the guy Russ that we're picking on so much. His dad's a Vietnam vet, and I'd love to have them on here to get their story, at least whatever they want to say about it.
Yeah,
because now their grandkids and see it, you know?
Yeah, and have it documented. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's part of the. That's one of the reasons we kept doing this. I feel like my grandkids can one day say, "Look what Grandpa did," either your kids or, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Yeah, my dad doesn't know this, but like when he starts telling stories or he's talking to somebody, I'll pull my phone out and I'll start recording.
Oh, hell yeah,
that's awesome.
And I got a bunch of recordings of different little stories that he.
You
tells
think he might do it?
I think he would do it. Heck yeah, I think he would do it. I think he'd enjoy it.
And well, if we do it, we'll buy an extra mic.
Yeah.
We have to get a bigger table. We'll change it. We'll do something. We'll make the shit work in the small room.
We have a couple couches in here. Everybody lay back and drink some beer and just.
Yeah, Coors Light, man.
Oh, yeah. He would want his Coors Light, that's for sure.
Let's do it.
Now, is that your drink of choice?
Mine?
Yeah.
I love a Jack and Coke.
Okay.
I love a Jack and Coke.
Damn.
But when it comes to beer, yeah, I'll drink Coors Light.
Yeah.
That's what dad's always drank.
I was about to say, your dad always drank Coors Light, yeah. Even before it was popular, even before Bud Light got banned by most men.
Yep.
He's
been an avid Coors Light guy from
always
day
been.
One.
Yeah. He has been. That's no shit. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie's mom.
That's the one person's beer I didn't steal. I didn't steal any beer out of his cooler when I was a kid. Somebody like, who's cool is that? Don't fucking touch that cooler, Jack.
Yeah, you're going to get your ass beat.
I ain't lying. We'd be young, like, hey, grab a couple of beers. I'm like, don't touch that fucking cooler. The guy literally had two Brian Browns on the Coors Light. I'm like, put them fucking things back, Jack.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's funny.
That's a real story, Jack.
Yeah. And people love their Coors Light. That's Frankie's mom, my mother-in-law. She only drinks no wine, no liquor, just Coors Light.
You're a smart woman.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Well, I'm going to wrap it up.
That's it.
So you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and this will be on YouTube as well.
So it'll be out like 2 weeks. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we do it every 2 weeks.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited.
Anything you need to cut out?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
And if you want to, anything you want to put in there, like any organizations or whatever, let us know. We'll throw it at the bottom of the thingy. He'll do all that.
Yeah.
All
right.
And other than that, appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you coming.
Yeah, it was a really great time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much. Enjoyed it. Until next time.
Yeah,
that's right. All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to On the Hill. Like, subscribe, and follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. See ya.